kids that would like to come forward?
Sure, can you give one?
I didn't bring candy, sorry. I don't know, I shouldn't have set the bar so high. Hi guys. Well, we've talked about being afraid before, and today I want to talk about it again, because there's lots of stuff I'm afraid of, but one thing I was thinking of is I'm scared of the dark sometimes. Is anybody afraid of the dark? Like, do you have to have a nightlight on? Yes. What about storms? Is anybody afraid of storms, like windstorms? That's another big thing that I am. You're not afraid of storms? Do you like, some people like them, but when it gets really windy and the power goes out, I freak out a little bit deep inside. I wanted to snuggle up in bed and not go out. So today it reminds me of a story. Jesus' disciples were in a boat. And imagine being in a boat and they're going on the lake and all of a sudden it gets really dark outside. And the waves started to get really big and they're feeling pretty scared. They're getting scared. And all of a sudden, they see someone walking on water. I mean, my gosh, what if you saw that? I'd be like, that'd be kind of terrifying a little bit. Like, there's somebody walking on water and there's a storm.
Well, if they had water shoes.
So. Well, if they had water shoes, yeah, but I mean, we're not there yet. So they were really scared. They were terrified. And then they heard a voice and it says, "It is I, don't be afraid." And they like recognized that voice, and it was the voice of Jesus. And so they actually go, "Hey, come onto our boat." And they weren't afraid of him. So when it comes to being afraid, we're kind of all in the same boat, right? But if we invite Jesus into our boat, we have nothing to fear. So I want you to think about that and just always know that you always have Jesus right by you, okay? So let's pray. Sincere God, all of us are afraid at times, and help us to remember that with Jesus, we have nothing to fear. And please be with these kids tonight and this week, and always let them know that they are loved. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Once in a while, I hear a little saying that's really going to stick with. Oh, birthdays!
Oh, what's your note saying? Oh, I have birthday box that I forgot to do this morning. Do I have some people who'd like to donate to the birthday box? Ah, yeah.
There are certain phrases that stick with you. Sometimes you hear them and they stick with you. Don't concentrate on how big is your giant. How big is your God? Don't look at the size of your giant. Look at the size of your God. Carrie, this one's going to stick with me. Invite Jesus into the boat. Invite him into my boat. that's going to stick. I can wrap my mind around that. Thank you for that today. That was good. It's so interesting how sometimes what we do here before service just ties right into what we're doing for our lesson today. And the song that Diana chose to play to start us off with for communion was Take Time to Be Holy. I don't know if you remember this old hymn. Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing, his blessing to seek. And you can go home, because that was my sermon. Okay, no, don't leave yet. That song is exactly what we're going to talk about today in a roundabout way. All right? We've spent several weeks talking about Gideon, and I deliberately left off digging into the pieces of him seeking God's will through those fleeces, because probably one of the questions that I hear the most often is, how do I know what God's will is for me in this situation, in my life plans going forward, and where I'm going to go to college, and where I'm going to live, and who I should marry in the next career choice that I make? How do I know I'm hearing God's will? That matters to us. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take time to talk about sifting through things, discerning. How do we know what God wants us to do? We're in Judges 6 for Gideon, and I just wanted to go over those couple of verses. Judges 6, verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, "If you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel, as you promised, prove it to me this way. I'll put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with dew and the ground is dry," right? And that's exactly how he says God does that for him. And then the next morning he said, "Please don't be angry with me. Let me make one more request. This time let the fleece be dry while the ground is wet." So God that night did as Gideon asked. And the fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew. Sometimes we read this and we think, I want to know, just like Gideon did, I want to understand exactly what choice God wants me to make at a certain point. And I wish I could just lay out a fleece and see how God answers. Either the fleece will be wet or dry. I'm going to put the arrow in the lawn, and if it points to the left, I'll make this decision. If it points to the right, I'll make that decision. We say, you've heard this, if only I could hear God's voice out loud so I'd know what to do. And we talked about that last week, that the problem with that doesn't always move you to faith. Because the people walked with Jesus for 3 years, they watched him do astonishing miracles. And it didn't move all of them to faith, did it? Gideon had an angel come and speak to him directly out loud, and did that move him to faith? It did not. An out loud voice doesn't always do the trick. And may I also suggest that you might want to be careful what you wish for. Having an immediate, direct, clear order, or an arrow pointing one way or the other, clearly marking out the right path, actually robs us of something very precious that God gave to us. It robs you of free will. It robs you of the ability to engage your mind and your heart. In that scenario of just one way or the other, our free will to decide whether we want to engage with a relationship with him goes out the window. If someone's just going to leave me instructions, do it this way, do I need to stop and talk about it with them or just get it done? And tossed aside in that scenario is something that we all, most of us, really enjoy. And that is the opportunity to talk about the options with someone that you care about. You ever done that? We bring all these components to the discussion. Here's what I know. Here's what I feel. Here's what I'm wondering about. Here's what my heart really wants. Deep down inside, I really want this. Do you think that's possible? And we meet with a friend and we seek their input. We want their feedback. You know me. What do you think? You ever said that to someone? We bring all of these ideas to the table. And sometimes the dreaming and the brainstorming is just as much fun as actually doing the job itself, isn't it? Sometimes it is. And sometimes, no matter how many times I sit down and discuss it with someone, it still is a very painful situation. No matter which choice I make, it's going to be hard. Have you discovered that in life? If you haven't, you will. And the friend that sits across from us and reaches out to encourage us as we make a decision makes all the difference sometimes, doesn't it? To know that you're not alone. And I need to be reminded that this is exactly what God wants us to do with him. Many times I make a vague request of God. Do you do this? Do you throw that prayer up? You know, lead me in the right direction. Help me to know your will. Moving on. I've spent more time talking with my friend than I have with God. And sometimes that's how it is. But when we talk, when we take the time to have conversation with someone, we begin to see what's really going on in our hearts. It starts to reveal things like my motives, my hopes, my fears, my dreams. And those are good things to consider and assess. What we really crave is a relationship that offers the encouragement and the guidance that we need. And therein lies the first key that we're going to talk about. And I'm sure as soon as I say this word, you're sick of hearing it already, because we've talked about it a lot. Because the first key in discerning God's will for your life is relationship. It's having a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Let's look at it this way. Raise your hand if you have a spouse or a friend that you would say you know pretty well. We got someone like that? So if I were to ask you a question about that person, and I were to say to you, how do you think they'll respond when blah, blah, blah happens? What is their favorite fill in the blank? How many of you think you could probably answer that question quite often? You could, couldn't you? The more you get to know them. Why? Because you've spent time with them. You've talked with them. You've worked through life situations with them. You've had all kinds of experiences with them exploring life, and you get to know what they like and what they don't like. And if you have a good memory, that's great. If you're like me and you have a bad memory, sometimes that doesn't always help. I bought my son once a birthday cake, ice cream cake from Baskin-Robbins, and I got what they had, which was mint chocolate chip. I'd forgotten my son hated mint chocolate chip ice cream. I didn't remember that. But hopefully when you get to know someone, you begin to really absorb and remember what it is they like and they don't like. I can usually tell you how Brian's going to respond to things. Not always, but usually, because we've spent time talking and listening to one another. And I'm still learning, but the more I get to know him, the more I have a sense of how he feels about things. So the first question I want to ask myself when I'm wanting to know God's will is this. Have I been spending time with my Heavenly Father? Am I finding ways to engage with him that build that relationship and draw me closer to him? I'm not going to offer you a checklist of things you do need to do to build your relationship with God. I'm going to offer some suggestions, some ideas, some opportunities that you might want to pursue. And I'm going to tell you why doing this is so valuable. One of the first ways I discover what my friend likes and dislikes, listen. Listen to them. A good listener. If you're a good listener, it sometimes doesn't matter how long you've been friends, but how well you've listened while you've been friends. I have people that I'm as deep with after only 2 years as I have with other people I've been with for 18 years. Have you found those people in life? People who really listen to you, who you really get to listen to and get to know. So it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 6 weeks or 6 months or 60 years. It's how willing I am to listen and invest time with them that builds a relationship. The longer we're friends, the more conversation we have, the more I begin to see how they think. What drives them? What makes them tick? What they love? What they hate? Spiders, just so you know. This is knowledge that I gain only by spending time with them and listening. So how do I get to know what God loves and what God wants for my life? I need to listen to his words. And where do I find his words? Right here, the Bible. Oh, Patty, here we go. Join me in our list of complaints. I'm no good at reading my Bible. I don't always understand what I read. Sometimes I'm left with more questions than answers. Sometimes it just seems so dry. Like there's nothing really for me to learn. I read it. Not really sure I got anything out of it today. I hear your cry. I've wrestled with this a good share of my Christian life, and I want to share with you what I've learned. First of all, I want you to grasp this and know it deep in your hearts. You are filled with God's Holy Spirit. When you said to God, "I accept your Son as my Savior," he took a precious part of him, his Spirit, and he poured it into you. John 14:26 is very clear. It's a great verse, and you need to hear it. Because here's what he says. "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative," that is the Holy Spirit, ready? "He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." You, before you ever get into here, need to know you are filled with God's Spirit. And if you think you can't figure it out, take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to just enlighten you, to teach you. Never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit, ever. Secondly, you need to know there's no qualifying amount of Bible you need to read. There's no deep understanding that happens in a set amount of time. No spot in Scripture that's guaranteed to be the best place to study. Instead, this is a place where dialogue begins. I've had mornings where one verse was all I read and I couldn't go any farther. I needed to think about that one for a while. And it goes round and round and round and round in my head. And sometimes I argue with that piece of Scripture, just so you know. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. It's not what I wanted to hear. And I have to think about it for a while. But this is where I get to know the heart of God, because this is where dialogue begins. This is where I get to ask him questions. What in the world does that verse mean? Whew, I have to think about that one for a day. I may have to ask some questions from people that I know and I trust. You can ask your pastor. You can ask a Bible study teacher. I call my pastor, Ron. You got to see him on video the week we were at the retreat. I call Ron all the time. Okay, I'm here. Here's kind of what I see. What do you think? Ron is 15, 17 years older than me and been in ministry for 45 years. Guess what? Ron has a lot of life experience and a lot of love for God's word. So if I'm stuck on something, I can ask. The Bible is God speaking, and it's one of the ways that we get to hear God and know what's on his heart. But you need to know that that is foundational. This is foundational. Got it with me? This is where we start. Because everything else we're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks is going to come back to this truth. God's revealed will to you will never contradict his written word. If you believe that you've discovered God's will for a certain situation and it requires you to violate Scripture, something went off key. Something's off base. You need to go back and ask again, because God's will for you never violates what he's already written down. But how am I going to know if I'm violating what he's already written down if I never bother to see what he wrote down for me? Okay? Because you can't rely on me to feed you all the time. And if you are, ooh, bad news. You're going to be hungry. I can help. I can point. But this is what we do. We reach out to those who are behind us on the path, and we point ahead to where we're going. And if all of us are reaching out to somebody behind us on the path and going, come on, we can do this, and we're all pointed that direction, then we're all learning and growing together. You need to be able to feed yourself as well as come here and be fed. Does that make sense? Not if it does. It's important. Romans 12:2 is a terrific verse. I want to read it to you. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul's writing, he says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How do I get to know what God's will is for my life? I have to spend time with him so he can change the way I think. And if I don't spend time with him, he doesn't get to change the way I think. There are a lot of people on Facebook. Have you found them? Who have a lot of ideas. I let some in. A lot of them I just hit the block, hide, delete button. Do you do that? Because I don't want them influencing the way I think. If I'm going to learn about the way they think, I have to spend time with them. I have to read what they've written. That's what relationship is. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. To be honest, just so you know, I was uncomfortable with starting at this point. Because we're starting on a point that's been one of my weakest points throughout my spiritual life. I grew up in a very rigid church. And somewhere along the line, I gathered, we do this, you glean ideas of how things are supposed to be. And you start to build a framework. And sometimes that framework works, and sometimes it gets a little wonky. Or it just simply doesn't work. And then I start to lose heart. I started to think that there was some certain amount of Bible I should read. Good Christians do. Do you have that list? Oh, good Christians journal. Oh, man, I'm terrible at journaling. Good Christians get up at 5 a.m. on their knees. Oh, I hate getting up at 5 a.m. Good Christians read a chapter a day. No, they buy the through the year and one through the Bible in 1 year Bible, and they read that and they read their other Bible. You know, pretty soon the list can get endless. It can. You meet other people and they tell you what works for them. You're like, oh, I should add that to my list. That sounds really holy. I should be doing that too. It's why I never give you an insert in the bulletin, or I rarely give you fill in the blanks. I don't want to give you five things to go home and do, because then you get them to the five things from last week and the three things the week before that and the four things the week before that. Now you've got a list on your refrigerator of 18 things you should be doing to be a better Christian. I don't know about you, but that exhausts me. And it defeats me. And it ruins relationship for me. Now, if you're a rule follower, you're already taking notes, and I don't need to tell you anything. If you like a list, you're probably already making a list. The goal of what we're doing with God throughout the week is relationship. And we're going to talk over the next couple weeks, what is it that builds relationship for you? Because we are all wired differently. And what works for you may not work for me. And God knows that, and God loves that. I love to talk with Chris. Chris reminds me of my dad. Chris loves to have the Bible and a couple other books. And intellectually, he engages with God, and it's off to the races. Other people, you want to give them two books, ooh, they're overwhelmed already. That's not how they're wired. Some people are relational. That's how they connect with God. We're going to talk about that. There's all these ways that we can find to engage with God, but it starts here. And I need to know this so I can go on. How do I get to know that? Well, we get to talk about it here on Sunday. If you're a lady and you come on Monday nights, we dialogue and learn a bit more on Mondays. There's an app you can have for your phone. How many of you are phone people? There's an app on your phone that's just called the Holy Bible. I'd have to look at my phone and make sure I have the right one. And it will send you every morning a verse to start your day. One verse. And you'll start it in the morning, you'll think about it, and it's going to give you the same verse at night. And it gives you a chance to mull things over. Maybe you're a piece at a time person and one verse is really enough to keep you going. Good for you. The goal of what we're doing is engaging with God and getting to know Him. I used to listen to preachers tell me this on Sunday mornings. I would sit where you are, and I would listen to this, and I would roll my eyes inside my head. Not out, not so you could see me, but inside me. Have you met Cynical Patty yet? Unfortunately, you might. Cynical Patty does exist, just so you know. And I had a long list of reasons. It doesn't work for me. It's too hard. I'm too tired. My day's too busy. The list of reasons why I didn't take time to ever engage with God's written word was long and varied. And yet, over the past several years, this is what has changed my life. I have not conquered great books of scripture, just so you know. Sometimes I'm just in a psalm for a day, and I find two verses that really grab me. And then I end up sitting there for the whole week on three verses. There is no plan for you to follow, but this is where you're going to get to know the heart of your God. Here's what you need to know. The need to have His word in our lives is universal. But God made everyone unique and different. And what draws you into conversation with Him, what draws you into His word, is going to be different for all of us. So we're going to dig into that in the next couple of weeks. We're going to take time to learn different ways that we can engage with God and with His word and discover, because that's the starting point, how do I know what God's will is for my life? How do I know path A or path B? And here's a spoiler alert. Usually with God, there's C, D, E, F. There's all kinds of things that He wants us to know and He wants to talk about with us. And we're going to discover more about that in the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that when we look back through the centuries, there are people who literally sacrificed their lives so I could have this book. Like people who were burned at the stake, people who were crucified, people who have worked so hard to keep your word together for me. May I never take that lightly, and yet may I use it as a point for conversation and relationship with you, because that's what I want to have, Lord, is a relationship with you. Will you bless our week? Will you fill us with what you want us to know? May we have fun dialoguing with you about what's going on in our hearts. Thank you for loving us and sending your Son to die for us. And it's in His name that we pray today. Amen. Amen. Would you be standing? My prayer is that this week you will find something in here that will lodge in here and become conversation for you and God. Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
No, it's in volume.
Is it?
Yeah, you're welcome.
I can't remember to send those to you. I'm sorry.